Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
I'm John Batchelor with James Holland, Brothers in Arms. James has just described how a Sherman tank can defeat a Tiger tank. Now we're about to see how a Sherman tank can push and push. We go to the Nuaro Valley. James will do it better than I do. And also a commander of, I believe, 70 Corps at this point, a man by the name of, they call him a Funtama because he drives them. What is Operation Track?
Well, this is in the sort of closing stages of the Normandy campaign. It's actually it's a Canadian-led operation, pushing down from Caen, the Bourgouas Ridge, down into Falaise. And the crossing of the Nuaro is a, you know, again, it's on a sort of flank action of Operation Tractable. So General Thomas is part of, he's the commander of the 43rd Wessex Division. And he's known as Von Thoma because Von Thoma was a German Africa Corps commander captured at Alamein. And so the Sherwood Rangers christened him, nicknamed him Von Thoma after that because he's sort of Germanic in his driving and his ruthlessness. He's always sacking brigade commanders and what have you.
They call him a butcher at one point.
Butcher Thomas. Yeah. You know, he's a very hard man, utterly devoid of any sense of humor whatsoever. But you know, a good driving general all the same, just not a very pleasant man. And they got across the Nuaro, which is not a particularly wide river, but it's in a deep kind of a deep river valley. They've got to get across it, and they're operating with infantry that they haven't worked with before. And this is always one of the problems that whenever a tank unit is put side by side with infantry they haven't used before, there's a certain amount of kind of, you know, you've got to kind of inch your way into it. You've got to kind of work out how each other works and establish a kind of sort of professional combat relationship. And on this particular occasion, the Sherwood Rangers haven't had that opportunity to do so. And they end up having to climb up through this wooded, this steep wooded ridge up onto this kind of sort of higher plateau of farmland, sort of rolling farmland beyond this wooded ridge. And there they get ambushed, basically, by kind of, you know, Germans lying in wait with Panzerfaust and anti-tank guns and Nebelwerfer mortars and what have you. And it's C Squadron that's leading, and they just get completely hammered. It's a very, very dark day for them. And guy I got to know very well, Chuck, was Stan Perry. He was in the lead tank. He got sniped. He got shot in the arm. And then they lost a track from a Panzerfaust, and you know they were sitting ducks, and they, you know, how they got out of there is just a miracle. But the tanks that followed then also got brewed up and hit and everything, and that was largely because they didn't have the infantry with them. The infantry got distracted in the climbing up from the river through the wooded ridgeline, and weren't with them. And you know, you need the infantry and the tanks to work together. The tanks are there to provide the fire support. The heavy fire support for the infantry. The infantry are there to be the kind of eyes and ears on the ground because, you know, unless you've got your tank commander and you've got your head above the turret, it's next to impossible to see what's going on. You know, from using just periscopes, you can't see diddly squat, really. So they find themselves exposed, and it's not until later on when the infantry turn up and more tanks turn up that they're able to kind of sort of win the day. But it's a brutal, bloody battle. And my friend Stan Perry got very kind of, you know, every year for 70 odd years, he used to get very morose around the 16th of August.
It's important to detail that they're learning tactics here in battle about armor works with infantry, and they combine their effectiveness. As of yet, it's always the presumption that this happened right away. There was a sense that the infantry wanted the armor to go ahead and clear it out before we arrive. And the armor was blind, especially because the number one position that was most vulnerable was the tank commander with his head up above the turret.
That's right. I mean, you know, statistically, you had absolutely no chance of getting through unscathed at all. Absolutely none. And casualty rates amongst officers in the Sherwood Rangers was 178%. So it's, you know, it's incredibly high.
And also, the commanders or all tank members were vulnerable when they got off the tank to consult with the infantry. Another place where it shows this day, because the tank, a C squadron suddenly was by itself. And then the troops, we should mention that each squadron is broken down into troops, which is what, three tanks, James, three Shermans?
Four by this four, thing. So they used, they used to have five troops of three and then a squadron headquarters of four Fireflies. But actually John Semkin, who we mentioned a moment ago with the meeting with the Tiger in Fontenay-le-Pesnil, he comes up with the idea of actually having three troops of five and having one Firefly in each of the troops.
And the Firefly,
so three 75mm Shermans and then one 17-pounder anti-tank gun-equipped Sherman Firefly.
And the Firefly was the one that was most dangerous to the German armor because it could penetrate, and the Germans were always looking for a Firefly.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the problem with the Firefly is the gun is so big that it's too big for the tank, really. But it works well when it works in harness with the 75mm. So your 75mm ordinary Sherman tank would pummel a target and fire very, very quickly. And then the Firefly would come up and just do the coup de grace kind of killer shot. That was the principle behind it. And generally speaking, that worked pretty efficiently.
This fight across the river and the gunfight they get into, the reason I was so keen on it in reading, and I read it over a couple of times, is that everything goes wrong here and they still get out of it. It's surprising how you would presume at some point in the battle we're going to lose it, but they don't. And I think again and again, there's many examples in your book, James, where you would think surrender. You're surrounded. You've got Panzerfaust right and left, and you've got snipers if you stick your head up, but they keep moving in the dark, into the daytime. I actually think at some point they didn't get out of this. They all got killed, and that they didn't.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing that more people didn't get killed, really. I mean, the casualty rates were truly horrific. And actually, it's very interesting because once my friend Stan Perry gets shot in the arm and he has his tank blown out, he's overtaken by the next guy, the next troop commander behind, Chuck or Frank Galvin. And Galvin goes on towards this little village called Berjou and is then hit by another Panzerfaust or an anti-tank gun or something, but he's hit, and his Sherman tank does brew up, and they all die. After the war, the tank was moved off the road. And if you go up there now, you go along the hedge line, and just before you get into at Berjou, there's a little gap, which is just a little bit longer than a Sherman tank, and the hedge goes around in this little rectangle. And that's where Frank Galvin's burnt-out tank stood for many years after the war, and the hedge regrew up around it.
The book is Brothers in Arms. James Holland is the author. We're headed to Belgium. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,